This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon. It is 4:06, and it's a cold one today, Mike.
Yeah, and thankfully you've got heat in this room. I'll tell you what, if you didn't, I wouldn't be here.
Pleasant, 76 degrees.
Yes, and outside is 2 below 0, I think.
38, I believe.
Yeah, 38.
Might as well be.
My last check was 38.
So. Ew, brah.
Anyway, I'm going to talk about plants, probably, and some...
Are they surviving?
Yeah, I am. I'm sitting here, all right?
Oh, there's a joke, but I got to leave it alone.
Yeah, I'll leave it alone. This is not a joke's joke. This is a serious joke. Anyway, if you have any questions about your landscaping, your garden, or what do I do with the back 40 or something like that, you can call and ask that question at 673-4464. 673-4464. And any question is fair game, won't cut you off or anything like that. You know, doesn't matter. So, welcome to Global Warming Wednesday.
Absolutely.
When I woke up this morning, it was snowing very heavy at my house. And also had about somewhere between 4 and 6 inches on the ground and on my deck, my front porch. And I was breaking trail because I got a mile of dirt road to get to the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to put her in four-wheel drive.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, to get up. Well, we've got some inclines, some ups and downs. It's not a flat road.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was. And then I get to Hoover Hill Road, and I go, oh, man, it's just like pure white. And I'm thinking, I don't want. Then this big old rig's coming from down the hill. Coming up, and he's got dual tires on it, and I let him go in front of me. He broke me a path, and
there you go.
Went in his path.
Thank you, buddy.
I did. I bought him a cup of coffee. So anyway, enough for my snowstorm.
Congratulations to Sutherland for staying open all day.
What?
Sutherland, the schools.
The school's good because everybody else and their brother closed.
I know.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the days I went. They never closed for nothing.
Well, that's because you went there.
See, I just passed that on.
Yeah. But even though the snow, the rain, and the cold is forecast this week, the spring planting time will be here, you know, fairly soon, believe it or not. So go shopping. For some color items and get ready to plant. And when I say go shopping, I mean just go look at it, see what's available out there. Some people have pushed box stores have pushed the envelope, and they've had little small plants in 4-inch pots and stuff for weeks now.
They're probably about dead now.
They could be, you know, because I don't know if I don't think they bring them in at night.
I don't believe so, but I don't know.
Because it'd be hard to get those carts through their doors. You know, the automatic electric doors.
Yeah, and they would have to clean up every day, and they wouldn't
like that. Well, yeah, but the carts are kind of wide.
Yeah.
But maybe they can, and I'm just missing a boat, so.
They'll let us know.
But anyway, you'll see stuff out in front of the box stores and other places, and you can see what's available, see what shape they're in. Do they look like they're still alive? Well, you might. If you buy some, take them home, put them in your living room or something until the snow disappears and the temperatures get back up into the 40s, at least for the lows, and you could safely plant them then.
Mm.
But if you feel it's too cold, you might at least plan where your color items are going to be and just dig the holes. Get it ready.
Dig
the holes and get your soil ready and all that so that when you do go get your color spots or whatever you're going to get, you've done most of the hard work already, so mm-hmm. you just pop them in and they're really good to go.
The ground's still pretty soft, ain't it?
Oh, yeah, it's very soft.
Yes.
Yeah.
Soggy.
Oh, gosh. But right now, I always talk about pruning, and the reason I see, as I travel around in the neighborhoods, I see these ornamental grasses that a lot of the tops have burned down. I mean, they're kind of brown,
mm-hmm.
and people are just leaving them there. So if you've got some ornamental grass and it looks kind of crispy and wilted and laying on the ground, cut them back. They come roaring back. Just cut them right at the surface and get all the dead stuff out of the way, and the new stuff will come very, very quickly. And
would that work for my Easter lily, too?
It may. It may.
She looks
dead.
Because
it's pretty bad looking.
Yeah, this cold weather is zapper.
Yeah, go ahead and cut it back to the ground and maybe throw some new mulch on it or something if you got a couple of handfuls.
But that vine from you know where is still alive.
Well, I don't know what to tell you about
that. I don't either.
I don't know.
It looks wilted, but it's still going.
But anyway, when you cut back these perennials out there that look like they're, you know, history and toast, when you cut it all back, that new growth will be peeking out, you know, fairly soon, and it'll be growing. In fact, some of the bulbs you see around, I've got bulb plants that are 6-8 inches tall already.
Wow.
Just in the last week and a half, 2 weeks.
Mm.
You know, because they're super, super tough.
Mm.
you kill the tops, but the bottom is still alive.
It's so, the bottom that counts.
Yes. So it's also a good time for, you know, cleaning any of your flower beds and maybe adding some new mulch. And if you had planted, like I say, some bulbs last fall, they should be showing some new green shoots. And that's a good sign. It means that they're still alive. And if, like I say, the ornamental grasses, cut them back. It's just they're not gonna get any better. They're not; those dead leaves are not gonna revive themselves at all.
Mm.
And for any particular area that you have that you want to spread these ornamental grasses around, you can dig portions of those plants up now safely and move them. Because if you use a good sharp shovel, and we have planting shovels that are razor sharp so that they cut the roots cleanly and they make a good cut, you can just take them out, take pieces of them from the edge, and just go ahead and plant them in any of the bare spots that you have. And they'll do a really good job for you in a very, very short time. They're just tough. And once you get a patch of these bulbs in, they're going to be there for a while. Out at our place where it's even colder than in town, my wife has planted bulbs throughout the years. And, you know, one here and one there and one here and one there, kind of out there where we park. And now those ones have turned into a dozen.
Oh, wow.
You know, that are coming up in the same area. So that's how robust they are. They just don't seem to give it up. And I've said this before. I've told this story before. Out on Looking Glass Road, it's in a straight stretch. There's an old farmhouse there. And there's cows and horses grazing in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And every year in the spring, I go by, the daffodils that come out of that ground are absolutely amazing. And there's, I think, I wasn't going to say multiple hundreds. There may be thousands of them.
Yeah.
And this field is probably, you know, 4 or 5 acres maybe. And the cows and the horses are grazing in between the daffodils. They don't eat the daffodils at all. But every year, the when it starts coming, you can obviously tell there's more daffodils than there were the year before.
Yeah. Wow.
So if you want some bright yellow flowers in early spring, get some daffodil bulbs.
Proven to last.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're not irrigated. They're not, you know, and there's pasture grass growing all over the place.
Probably well fertilized.
Right. And horses and cows chomping on, you know, stomping on them. You know, and breaking them up. And yeah, they go, yeah, okay, great, we can do that. That's not a problem. And they're good to go. And you can dig them up very easily. And if you've got spots you want to fill with hardy bulbs, that's a good bulb. A daffodil is a great bulb to go ahead and, again, a sharp shovel or whatever you might have that will cut roots cleanly. Go ahead and dig half of it up. If it's a big group, dig half of it up and split that up and just pop it around wherever you'd like. And they'll bloom this year.
So they're actually a flower and not a weed.
No, they're not depends on how many you have.
Okay.
If you got 28,000 of them.
They're a weed.
They're a weed. Get rid of them. But no, No, they're a good flower. And like I say, you won't hurt them. They're going to grow well in their new home. Just make sure, the shovel edge is sharp. Mm-hmm. Because a good, clean cut ensures success. If you get the old rusty shovel out and try to dig some of them out, you're going to damage the bulb and some of the roots. And, you know, it may live or it may not live. So that's why I say sharp shovels.
Yeah.
And it's also time to shop for perennials. Perennials are those small little shrubs that bloom a lot and for a long time, and then they die down usually in the winter and come back not twice as big but larger than they were the year before, and they bloom again and again and again, and they don't die. Snow doesn't hurt them. Heat doesn't hurt them. I don't think bugs hurt them. Nothing hurts them. And, you know, annuals are nice bloomers as well, but they can only last, you know, just your one season.
Yeah,
that's it.
I get them confused.
Well, annuals is like a petunia or a geranium or something like that. It's a one-year shot. Now, in warmer climates, they might be perennials and come back.
Okay.
Because if there's no frost to contend with or snow or icy rain, they'll continue to live and grow. But
no doubt they don't live in this weather.
No, up in our country, they're pretty much toast after the very first frost or heavy frost. So, but you know, like I say, they're very nice bloomers. They'll bloom from, say, oh gosh, April to October, which is, you know, a good blooming time. You don't have to do much to them. You can prune them up or fertilize them, and maybe they'll last a little bit longer or get a little bit more vigorous in their growth. But that's it. I mean, as soon as it gets cold, they're toast. So
me too.
So perennials are going to give you that color for many years and will bloom longer, a lot longer than the annuals. So that's something to keep in mind. There's a lot of folks that I deal with that when they're saying, well, I want some color year round. I want this and this. And so there are shrubs that bloom, you know, fairly long, regular larger shrubs. Mm-hmm. But then if you have blank spots, you know, I say, well, here we've got a shrub over here, and 8 feet over here we've got another shrub, and 8 feet from there we've got another shrub. And the reason they're spaced out so far is because they're going to get 4 feet wide, and in no time at all
they won't
gonna,
be babies forever.
No, they'll be touching. But in the meantime, throw some perennials in there, triangulate with some perennials, and you'll have the color, you'll have the shrubs and the color, and so you've got something going all the time for you.
The best of two worlds.
Yes, exactly.
Yay.
Exactly. Often, of course, new gardeners are buying perennials, and they buy too many sometimes. And they end up planting them too close together.
Oh.
And like I say, give them space to grow and begin to fill in. And in a few years, like I say, you'll be wondering, where did all that space go? I only planted X amount, you know, I put them 4 feet apart, but now they're touching. Now they're, you know, there's no room for anything else. But like I say, if you plant them too far apart, you can always plug in something in the middle.
Yeah.
And it's an easy thing to do. They're all, they all take the same kind of care.
As
far as watering or fertilization or anything like that, you're going to do very little on a perennial because perennials are just tougher than nails. And you know, and when you're picking them out, like I say, start small. Don't get 100 of them. Get 10 of them and space them out and see what they look like. Live with it for a while and see how they grow, so that the following year you can say, well, I need another 10 just to kind of do, you know, finish off that area.
Fill the gap.
Right. Instead of buying, like I say, 50 at a time or 60 at a time and trying to fill up the whole yard at all at one time. It's not worth it.
Not good. All right. How about a break time?
Okay.
We'll be right back. And our phone number there,
673-4464.
Thank you. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty.
We are back.
Well, absolutely. And the phone number once again.
673-4464. Any gardening question you might have,
I'll
give you all the info you could possibly want.
Check the phones and make sure it's working. Oop.
Yeah, it is.
I just heard it.
Anyway, I'm talking about perennials and blooming, early bloomers and that kind of thing. And I don't know if an agapanthus would actually be a perennial. It is a shrub of sorts, but it could be classified as a perennial because in inclement weather like this, they have a tendency to kind of wilt down. But they're really a very pretty plant. They're a grass-like plant with wide green leaves that droop, to the side. But their common name is the African blue lily. Huh. And
they must have came from Africa.
Exactly. They grow wild there. I mean, it's one of the many that grow wild.
Hmm.
But agapanthus is beautiful.
Agapanthus.
If you've got a spot that, maybe in full sun and maybe the soil's not so hot, you can put an agapanthus in there and it wouldn't even care. It'd eat the sidewalk. I mean, when it blooms, it has these very long stemmed flowers that go up about 2 feet tall on the stem, and then it opens. The one I have is the blue one, kind of bluish purple, and has a beautiful, beautiful blue bloom. And the older it gets, of course, the more blooms come up each year. But they bloom almost the entire summer.
Is that, wow. Yeah, do they get any taller than 2 feet?
No, the plant itself, only the green part of the plant probably only gets about a foot.
Okay.
But the flower will go up, the stem will come straight up from the center about 2 feet, 18 inches to 24 inches.
That's a good size. Yeah.
And then the bloom is on top. And it's just cool. Really a striking plant. And it's a tough plant. I mean, you don't have to do anything to it. It's just, occasional water in the summertime and a little bit of fertilizer once a year maybe is all it ever needs. But it will really make a show place for an entry or next to a sidewalk or next to a driveway or along a fence where there's a small bed. You got a 3 foot bed of bark mulch and you don't know what to put in there because big plants will be too big but the agapanthus would fit really well.
It's perfect.
And you could put perennial, put them farther enough apart where you could put other perennials in between, and you've created a showcase of color for the most of the summer.
Nice.
And they all take about the same type of care for water, fertilizer, and that kind of stuff. And you can plant one, you leave it alone, and in a hot summer weather, you might give it a drink, a heavy drink, maybe once a week, maybe. Mm. And this is also a plant that you can take pieces from. Like I was saying, if you wanted to split it up, the plant now is, you've had it in the ground, say, 4 or 5 years, and it's, 2 feet around, or maybe the leaves are. Mm-hmm. In the wintertime, you can take the sharp shovel again and just dig into the center of the plant and take pieces out of that.
And it becomes a mama plant.
Yeah, and plant them around, and it will heal itself where you've taken the cuts. Mm-hmm. It'll heal itself, and then the pieces that you cut out in the root system, you've got new plants right there. That's how we propagate them at the nursery. You just take one and just split it up and then pot it up. You can probably get 20 plants off a good size one, and you pot them up and you grow them out for 6 months, and then they're ready for sale and they're blooming and they look really, really good.
Too bad they don't all do that.
Yeah, I know. Too bad they're not all that easy, but
yeah.
Columbines are an old-fashioned type of flower that's very, very hardy, and it's going to give your garden a whole lot of color. And when I say garden, I don't mean just vegetable garden. I mean your garden, your yard, your landscaping as a whole. And they look good. And one reason for planting flowers in a vegetable garden, it attracts pollinators. because they can pollinate your vegetables as well as your flowers. So it's a two for one sale.
Yeah, there. Two birds with one stone, so to speak.
Two bees with one stone.
One stone.
The columbines, the blooming time is a little bit short-lived, and they'll drop a lot of seeds, though. And they're well known for dropping a lot of seeds, and so all these new plants appear the next spring.
They're unwanted.
Where did they come from? Well, they came from the one that you planted the year before. Again, it's easy digging. If you want to spread them out, you can. And it's the bad part of columbines is that they are poisonous.
Uh-oh.
So you don't want to eat them. You don't want to put them in a salad. They look good and all that.
Ranch or anything on them.
No, and don't brew any tea out of them either. You know, some people say, yeah, columbine tea, that's really great stuff. Famous last words.
Yeah. Little Kool-Aid.
Yeah. So dianthus is another cute, small, flowering perennial. They're evergreen and long flowering with perfumed flowers. They make an excellent bouquet. And there are only 300 species to choose from.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
And I'm thinking, 300? You know, they didn't list all 300 of them. And I'm thinking, well, where in the world are the, you know, are they natural? And how did they get to have 300 species of one flowering perennial, for crying out
and
loud?
And all natural.
How many differences can you have in all that? Oh, gosh. But they can grow in sun or like half shade. In a well-drained soil, easy to do. The common name form is pinks. When people come into the nursery and say, do you have any pinks? Well, that's what they're talking about. So.
Oh, they're not talking about drugs, pinks.
No, I don't think so.
We have a phone call.
Okay.
Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Good afternoon. I'd like to ask Mike about what the plant on the north side of my house that gets just a little late afternoon sunlight. I had some azaleas out there, but they just didn't seem to like it. The deer would go out and lay on them anyway.
The deer?
They would just lay right on the plant.
Oh, gosh.
And so, I had hydrangeas out there, but the deer ate them so badly I had to take the hydrangeas out. So, could you suggest a plant? I have some pyaris that are working great, but I need something more of a different variety replace those azaleas with.
Okay, so how much sun does it get when you say it gets a little bit of sun?
Well, late afternoon, probably for maybe 45 minutes or so.
No, that's not bad at all. There are dwarf rhododendrons that would work in that situation, and I don't know why your azaleas wouldn't work. You said the deer laid on them or ate them.
Well, they didn't eat them, but they were just, I had them in there several years. They didn't grow hardly at all,
uh-huh.
Even though they are on a drip system.
Uh-huh.
They were green and looked healthy, but they just didn't grow.
How about fertilization? Were you fertilizing them at all in a consistent time?
Well, I probably wasn't too consistent. I only fertilized them in the spring and then maybe later when I would think about it in the fall.
Uh-huh. And with what type of fertilizer, do you recall?
No, it was a flowering shrub fertilizer.
Okay, well, that's good. Because there are fertilizers that are strictly for azaleas and rhododendrons and acid-loving plants, too. And it'd say that on the package, but, one for flowering shrubs is probably almost as good. But, dwarf rhododendrons, they're a little bit tougher than an azalea. And if somehow you can keep the critters away from them, from laying on them or stomping on them or just, you know, mutilating them, they would do really well, and they don't take a lot of care. And what's your soil type like?
It's a lot of clay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
I've been amending it.
Okay. Well, you know, if it's a lot of clay, what you might do in each planting hole, no matter what you plant in there, is remove the clay and put some potting soil or potting mix or bark mulch and sand mix or something like that that's well drained. And you said you had a drip system. I'm wondering if some of them were maybe overwatered. Do you know what the timing on your drip system was?
Yeah, I know the timing, but They're at the end of a system that's already in place.
I see.
They probably get half an hour's drip 3 days a week.
Uh-huh. Well, for a drip, I guess 2 days a week is not bad for the summertime. Did you ever, in the summer, did you ever dig down beside one of the plants and see how damp or how dry it might have been?
No, I didn't do that.
Okay, well, that would be a good thing to do. Even you got a drip, you don't know, is the emitter plugged up, or, you know, is it not functioning in some other way? And if not, you might have to take a hose around or something like that and just give them a good shot of water once in a while replace some of your emitters, and that might work. But it sounds like the perfect place to put rhodies and azaleas. The soil amending is very, very important. You could plant rhodies and azaleas in pure bark mulch, old bark mulch, and they would do wonderfully.
And, oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And I've done it for years. just to be, on the safe side, mix a little sand in the mix there, or a little bit of potting soil, and mix it all together really nicely, and put about 2-3 inches on the bottom of the hole, put the plant in, and then fill the rest of the planting hole with your mix, and I think you're going to see better results long term.
Now, the only question is, are these dwarf ones readily available?
Yeah, they are. They are. When, quote, spring finally gets here, you know, say mid-March, April, that kind of time, they're usually every box store, nursery has those kinds of things.
I see. Okay, sounds like good advice. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Well, you're sure welcome. I appreciate the call.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Perfect timing. Break time.
He must have known what time the commercial was.
He did. I secretly told him. What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464. Any questions, welcome.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back, and we do have a phone call awaiting. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi there. I just have a quick question about my grass. I have I'm a little bit confused right now because I have what appears to be some moss really kind of coming in pretty thick in some patches in my grass in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
It's always understandable. I have a couple of patches of that in some really shady areas, and I get it, and it happens, and it usually goes away as summer gets here and rolls on. But this is in some full sun areas, and I don't know if I'm just missing something or if I'm misdiagnosing what that is. I was just wondering if you had any ideas what I might be looking at there and what I should do to fix it.
So what's your fertilizing program like?
Well, last year I kind of changed it up a little bit with that. I can't remember what it was called now, but it's the once a year thing. If you said the name of it, I'd probably remember it. But normally what I do is I just use the regular Scotts, and I fertilize probably 4 times a year, maybe a little bit more than that. I do the spring version, couple of the summertime versions, and then one of the fall versions, usually throughout the course of that season, those seasons.
Well, if you fertilize, you say this is moss?
It looks like moss.
Uh-huh.
I think it is, yeah.
Well, you might want to just put a little bit of extra fertilizer right on the moss, and that would probably kill it fairly quickly. And, when you fertilize your whole lawn, go ahead and fertilize your whole lawn. But in the specific spots where the moss is showing, give it an extra dose right on top. And if that doesn't work, I mean, you can't just do it once and it disappears. You might have to do it, twice before it'll disappear. And don't overdo, just do your fertilizing program on your grass as usual. And when you do fertilize your grass, is your grass green and lush and all that? I mean, you don't have any problems with it?
Yeah, normally it looks really, really good. Everywhere else it looks really good.
Okay.
It's just these couple of spots like this.
Okay.
It's a little bit weird because it's not just moss mixed in with the grass. It now seems like it's pretty well displaced all the grass in this area. So I was thinking about kind of scratching it all out of there and maybe scratching up the surface a little bit and just overseeding with some of the Douglas County mix that you can get down at the co-op or wherever. And I just wasn't sure if that was a good idea or if I should try to reclaim it before I do that.
Well, no, I mean, you can try the method I just lined out to you with the over-fertilization, and if that doesn't work, go ahead and scrape it out and prepare a nice seed bed where you scraped it out and put your Douglas County mix in there and a little bit of peat moss on top, and it'll come in. The reason the moss or whatever it is showing is because there's a weak spot for some reason in the grass at that particular location. And maybe it's not getting as much fertilizer, maybe it's not getting as much water. Until I was standing there looking at it, I couldn't really tell. But, you know, all else fails, just scrape it out and start fresh and do your patches with fresh seed.
Okay, that's good advice. If I were to do I'll try the fertilizer thing first. I assume I should probably wait until spring before I do anything like that. Is that accurate?
Well, yeah, but if you're just gonna do the patches, you could do that now, and it would just see if that would kill it. I mean, with the snow and the ice and the cold and all that, there might be a double whammy on it, and it might just disappear on you. And if so, then you're ahead of the game, and then you can reseed those bare spots.
Fair enough. Any recommendation on the type of fertilizer or anything like that?
Well, there's one called Ultra Green that I always like to use, and then that's a Lily Miller product. And just get a good lawn fertilizer with at least 15 to 18% nitrogen.
Excellent. Will do. I appreciate the advice.
You're sure welcome. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
All righty. That was an interesting call.
Yeah. Well, in Douglas County, there are no lawns that are
perfect.
Perfect. They could be perfect for the first year, and you think you got it whipped. And whatever reason, the following spring, you see some weird weed coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
you ignore it. You know, you just mow it and ignore it. And then you see two or three more, and they're kind of spreading all over the place. And you either have to live with it and mow it and keep them green or
start again.
Or, you know, you could start again. But, you know, there's a lot of maintenance involved getting weeds out of lawns. Because you're irrigating them, you're fertilizing them, and there is weed seed in the soil that lays dormant.
Well, those dirty bad nasties
for a while, and then comes up, and when conditions are right,
so that stinks.
Yeah, I know. You can't, but there's no sterilized soil.
I hadn't thought about the weather now might be in his favor.
That's why I told him to do that because see, they're probably a little stressed at this point.
Yeah,
and if you dumped a goodly amount of fertilizer on that particular spot, it might just burn them up.
Mm-hmm.
And if it burns them up, it gets the roots.
Voila.
Yeah, voila.
Voila, no moss.
I've done that before. I'm just, just experimenting. I said, let's see if I can kill it with fertilizer. Yeah, it died.
And then some.
Yeah. Okay, I was talking about perennials in the last last segment, and there's one other one. There's many to choose from, but I'm just picking out some tough ones here. Everyone has heard of bleeding hearts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, oh, the plants. Oh,
the
okay.
Plants, not the song. probably a Johnny Car or not Johnny Carson. What's that other
Johnny Cash?
Yeah. I knew there's one Johnny to sing songs like that. But it's speaking of flowers, the flower is generally heart-shaped. And pink, and it'll come in many colors. It'll come actually in white and pink and variegated, but the pink ones are the most prevalent. And they're a tough plant. I mean, once you plant one, I mean, hold your horses because you're going to have more. And some are even evergreen, and some are deciduous. And depending on the variety, they can range from 12 inches tall to up to 5 feet tall. Now,
wow.
When I was doing the research on it, it didn't have a name. It just said, and certain ones can get to 5 feet tall. Now, 5 foot tall, I've never seen a bleeding heart 5 foot tall. But I'm going to have to look that up sometime, see which ones actually do that.
And where at?
Where do you go, a 5 foot bleeding heart? But at any rate, they like, you know, part shade for the best blooms. They don't like the scalding hot all day sun. And they're just a nice border plant, or you can mingle them against into your, you know, landscaping part, in between shrubs and things like that. They're just for bright color spots, you can't beat them. They're good to go. But also, it was a warning too. Don't eat any of them. They are also poisonous.
Oh, are they?
To human consumption. I didn't know that about the about those plants. I mean, not that I've ever eaten any of them, and I'm not any desire to eat any of them. But
not even in the 60s?
No, not even in the 60s. That's another show.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Like I said earlier.
Didn't mean to throw you off.
Like I said earlier, in the last 24 hours, global warming has just hit us again between the eyes. And I got 6 inches of snow overnight at my place. And when I left my house this morning around, I was late this morning. I left about 8 o'clock or so. It was still snowing. And not a blizzard, but hard. I'm thinking, oh boy, this ought to be good. So it was a four-wheel drive deal all the way out to Highway 42, actually. And my top speed on 42 was a whopping 45 miles an hour. And
not
I thought,
too shabby in
no,
that weather.
No, but other people were going faster than that. I thought, are you guys crazy or something?
Morons.
Yeah. And so I finally got in towards Winston where the scale station is, and I got a big pullout there. So
yeah.
I pulled off the road, and I actually put it back in the two-wheel drive because the traffic had worn it down, the snow down to the pavement. So I was good. But Hoover Hill, where I got to go up Hoover Hill Road about a mile.
That's a nasty one.
Before I turn on my private road. And it was pure white. I mean, it was just, man. And my speed on Hoover Hill was somewhere between 15 and 18 miles an hour in four-wheel drive with with snowflakes falling steadily on my truck. But but I had this bigger pickup in front of me with dual tires, and I loved it. It was, oh, good. He was really, really getting the snow out of the way for my little old truck to
nice.
Get up in there. So that was a good deal. Oh, geez. And, well, you know, visibility, of course, maybe 50 feet, 60 feet, something
if that.
Like that. Yeah. And I kept thinking, well, it's about time for a herd of elk to jump out in front of me any second, you know, because they do that. They wait. And they got, you know, Hoover Hill's got a lot of curves in it and a lot of dug fir and timber down to the edge of the road.
Where they can hide.
Yeah, where they can hide until you get almost to them before they jump out.
Yep.
And I haven't seen too many elk do that, but a lot of deer do that.
Oh, those deer.
I know. I said, what are you, on a suicide mission or something? Stay in the brush till I get by, for crying out loud.
Your mama never taught you anything?
Nope, they didn't, because the babies do the same thing. But anyway, I guess we could say welcome to spring.
Yeah.
You know, and even though the trees and shrubs, some of them are already budding up, and the little buds are starting to swell, we're going to have a little more of this type of weather, I'm sure, for a few days or maybe weeks. And actually, the snow won't kill any plants, but it does delay the grand opening, if you will. Which is, when it gets to 65 and 70 degrees and we get some sunshine on a regular basis, then in the ground, the soil warms up, and then consequently the little buds start to pop open and you get either blooms or leaves, you know, depending on the type of plant. But it's if the root systems are cold, here's the deal.
Uh-oh.
If they're cold and wet, not much is going to start to grow. I mean, because the ground has to, the root systems are what produces the energy into the stems, into the flowers, into the buds, and says, hey, it's time to go. But if they're wet and cold, they're kind of sitting there waiting.
They ain't going to do nothing.
Right. They're not going to do much. Or maybe very little. But as soon as it gets that consistent, 65 and 70 degree weather with the sunshine,
and the
ground starts to actually warm up a little bit, then the root systems become more active. And that's in shrubs and trees, ground covers, everything. And, some trees and some shrubs are hardier, so they'll come on sooner. And then some wait until it gets, fairly warm and like the end of April or mid-April before it really comes out. We got a break here?
Yes. You're speaking about summertime. We got to take a break.
Okay. You're getting sweaty already, huh?
Yes. What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464. All calls are welcome.
Absolutely. 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Oh, mama have mercy. We are back with our final segment. 673-4464.
Hey, you got it right for a change. Bingo. All right, I'm glad. I'm happy. Hey. Yeah, anyway, we're talking about, damage that the weather does, how the plants are delayed somewhat because it is so cold. If this weather were to happen, say, in mid-April, then you'd really see some damage. But right now, you're not seeing a lot of damage. It's slowing down, but in mid-April, everything's in full bloom, say. Not everything, but most things are in full bloom, and there's new growth coming. And if all of a sudden we had a couple of snowy, cold days like this, the plants would really, really suffer.
Such as tomorrow morning after 2 a.m. here. I was showing you this forecast during the break. Yeah. 1 to 3 inches possible, and the chance of that, 100% right here in the valley.
Yes, so that means I'll get another 6 inches of snow at my place.
The low around 30, but it's probably going to get cooler than that.
it seemed really cooler than that this morning, I'll tell you.
Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay. Next time, do it in the form of a question.
Okay.
Yeah. But at any rate, just hold off on planting any of the small flowers. And I talked about them earlier in the program. You can go shopping for them. You can get them, but don't put them in the ground right now. Just wait until we get past this snowy, cold stuff for a while. And it might be, another week, 2 weeks before it's amendable to go ahead and put them in. But who can predict the weather? Nobody, actually.
Yeah.
But anyway, in my canyon where I live, it averages 6 or 7 degrees, 6 or 7 degrees colder than here in Roseburg, just all the time. But,
even in the summer.
Well, yeah.
And
our planting time for our flowers and garden stuff doesn't really start until maybe the end of March, 1st of April, providing that the weather is conducive to that.
Mm-hmm.
And and with all our hills and valleys in Douglas County, there are many microclimates that when you hear the weather coming on this radio station and this, it doesn't cover all of Douglas County. Some parts of it, but there are many, many canyons where people live in canyons that don't get the sun or they get extra snow or extra rain or extra cold or something like
that's
that.
That's the term, 100 valleys of the Umpqua?
Yeah, well, there's actually probably 128,000 valleys of the Umpqua. But with all our hills and valleys, we've got very, very large fluctuation of weather and storm systems and how storm systems affect. Do we have a call?
We have a call. I think we can squeeze it in. We got a minute or so. Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike. Hey, I've heard you talk about going by Broseye Orchard and Unfortunately, he has some cherry trees that are blossoming, and they're beautifully pink.
Yep.
So if you want to come by sometime and look at that. The other thing is it too late to divide some perennials, cut them back, and then put them back in the ground right now?
No, it's not too late at all. From now until for another month or so, you could do it safely.
Another month.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, definitely got to divide some, so I'm glad I'm not too late.
Okay.
Okay, Mike, thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, stay warm.
Will do.
Right.
All righty.
We out of time?
Oh, we got a minute.
A minute? Well, everything I said, you'll be tested on next week, and so expect the test to be open book, if you
will.
It'll
be 87 next week.
Yeah, it'll be 87 and a half. But I have a lot more notes here on early spring planting that will just continue in the same vein, and hopefully we'll catch everybody, and they will listen, and they will have success in their gardens. And in the meantime, thank you for listening. It's always fun to do this show. I don't know if you guys think it's fun, but I think it's fun. And Dale and I, we chuckle a lot in the breaks.
Oh, we do. Kyle would love to hear our comments.
But we're not going to tell him, are we?
No. Still have a lot of time here.
A lot. You said we had a minute.
Now it's down to 30 seconds.
30 seconds. 29, 28. But with this weather,
hail to the chief.
Don't push the season. Get your stuff, like I say, put it in the garage, put it in the living room, for crying out loud. Keep it warm until it's time. Probably not in the living room, and in the garage so it doesn't freeze. And because they're in awful small pots and those roots are very tender. And I don't know why in the heck the box stores have them out so early anyway. So thanks for listening.
Thank you. We'll catch you next week.
Okay.
Bye. You gonna bring in your new partner?
New partner. I asked her if she'd come in, and she said no.
No. Well, that was fun having her here that one time.
I give her lots of opportunities.
Yeah. All righty. Well, you stay warm, Mike, and we'll catch the afternoon report coming up next. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.